The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, my name's JC Wallace, and I'm from St. Louis. I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 343 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from, well, I'm formerly from a podcast that is no longer part of my weekly routine, you might say. And with me on the show is...
What is that podcast?
It's called WDW Today, and I think this will be the last time I mention it on this.
It's a habit, huh?
It's a habit.
10 years.
And of course, that voice is the lovely Michelle Scribner-McLean, who joins me on this show. Hello,
yeah.
Michelle.
Hey, getting ready for January. Will we be down there when this airs? Good question.
Yes, we will be.
All right.
Actually, we will
So, hey, we're in Orlando.
Yeah.
Boy, is it warm.
Wow, is it warm.
Yeah. Before we introduce our guests, usually, you know, I give shout-outs for people who are, you know, trying really hard to, you know, achieve a goal. And this week there was some bad news about somebody who's a Disney fan and also a nurse in Boston. And I know some people... in our community knew her, and her name was Amanda Turner Russell, and she was training for the Boston Marathon on December 23rd, and she was hit by a car and sadly passed away. And she was a nurse in Boston at Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital. So running the Boston Marathon, big Disney fan, and just a reminder for people to be super, super careful. You know, even when you're careful, you have to really run defensively. But she sounds like an amazing person. I had already raised a lot of money for the hospital, even prior to running it, but, it can be tricky out there. So just make sure that you're safe, everybody.
So now thoughts and prayers go out to Amanda Turner Russell's family
and lots of friends in the Disney running community too.
Yep. It's very sad. Mm. It's very sad. Well, we have a very special guest with us on today's show. He's been with us before. He hails from Claremont, Florida. His name is Phil Taylor, and Phil is a Run Disney volunteer leader. And we've asked Phil to come on and talk a little bit about volunteering and maybe give us a little hint as to what we can expect during every race during Walt Disney World Marathon weekend. Phil, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be here, guys. Always enjoy it.
Phil, I have to say that I am looking forward to running, but I am so looking forward to volunteering. I cannot wait. It's going to be my first time volunteering, and we get to hang out with you at least for one of the races, so yep. I can't wait. So I want to hear all the inside scoop.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And there's actually several people from the Mickey Milers team that'll be on our team at the bonus medals tent.
We're at the bonus medals tent.
We're at the bonus we're at the bonus medals tent during the full marathon. I think you had said you're volunteering at the 5K as well, right?
We are, yeah. I signed Mike up without asking him. Yeah, we're doing both. And cool. So this is something that's definitely been on my radar for a long time. I don't know if it was on Mike's. I just took it upon myself to sign him up. But can you tell us a little bit about volunteering, about how people would actually sign up to volunteer and why they'd
sure.
want to do it?
So what you want to do is you want to go onto the Run Disney website and look for something that talks about either being a sports enthusiast, or it might have changed. The language might have already changed on there to say sports ambassador. They're changing some language on that. But look for that, and then you can get onto an email list, and they will email you and tell you when volunteering opens up for each race. And then when you get that email, what you want to do is you want to sign up very quickly, because for a lot of the races, they do fill up very quickly. And there actually becomes a waiting list just to volunteer. It's kind of crazy.
Isn't it amazing? Like, we know that you have to really be on on the lookout when it's time to sign up for races. But now the volunteering is that way too.
Yeah, it's true. You know, there's 10,000 volunteers over the course of a year. And out of that, there's about 120, 130 team leaders that oversee those volunteers. They're also volunteers themselves. And so there's a lot of people involved at the volunteer level, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I see often when I'm, especially when I'm checking into the expo, that it's families too. It's families, yep. You know, husbands and wives and mothers and daughters. Yeah, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can't wait. I really, and you also get some swag too, right?
You do. So if you're volunteering, typically if you're volunteering at the expo, like you're one of the people that's there helping you check in, get your bib and whatnot, those people are getting a T-shirt that's going to be themed to, you know, the race that you're at. So, you know, Wine and Dine, it's going to have the logo for that, et cetera. Each race is going to look a little different. And so they'll give you a T-shirt for that because you're inside. If you're doing one of the warmer weather races, they may have a T-shirt for you to wear outside. But most of the races, you know, are potentially in colder weather. And so they're giving you kind of a little nylon jacket. I think you guys both have one that I gave you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a jacket like that. You guys will get one of those, you know, for the volunteering that you're there. They may do different ones for each of your races. I'm not sure if they are continuing to do that this year. So like for you guys that are volunteering at the 5K and then at the full, you may actually get two different jackets for those, one for the 5K and one for the full, or they may do one that just covers the whole weekend. They seem to change this up every year, and so I'm not quite sure what they're doing for you guys on that. But you do get that. And then also if you're doing I think for the full marathon you get a ticket. You'll get a Disney ticket. It'll be just a regular, you know, one park ticket, and they'll either give it to you at the end of the night or they'll mail it to you. And that's for the half and the full. And I believe for the 5 and 10K, for the regular volunteers, you get a points towards a ticket. So, you know, if you're doing multiple races, it works out to roughly like 1 point per hour. And I think you need 8 hours or 16 hours, I think, to get a full ticket. I forget exactly the perfect numbers on that, because it's different for team leaders. We just get a ticket every time because we're getting there earlier and we're typically staying late and we're typically doing a walkthrough ahead of time. So
it's, well, it's a good thing I just renewed my annual pass.
Well, you can give them to a friend who's visiting with
yes,
you.
Yes, definitely. So, well, I'm honestly, I would do it for nothing, and that's what it means to volunteer, and I'm just very happy to help and give back and kind of see the race from a different point of view. So.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons that you volunteered to come on, because you volunteer not only at Disney races, but also to come on this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah,
because you've been chatting with the race officials and you have some inside scoop to give us, right?
Yeah. So what they do is with the team leaders, they like to make sure that we have a really good sense of what to expect in the race weekend coming up. And so they do a big team leader meeting. We just did it last night over at Coronado Springs. And so they'll have, you know, dinner and whatnot there for us. And they'll have all different types of people to come and talk to us about things that are going on at the races. And they'll walk through any changes that are happening. A lot of the team leaders have been doing this for, gosh, some of them have been doing it for like 15 years. So they really know their stuff. But they walk through any changes that are happening in the courses. They walk through any changes that are happening in security, whatever it might be, so that we're all fully in the know and ready to go for marathon weekend. And so that's about a 2.5-3 hour meeting that they do every year in advance of marathon weekend. And then they'll do one typically before Princess as well. So
who runs the meetings, Phil? Is it John Hughes and crew, or Disney, or are you seeing different people from different aspects of the race?
It's mostly run Disney staff members.
Okay.
Tim, gosh, I'm drawing a blank on his last name. Tim is one of the main guys, and then there's always a Track Shack representative there. It's typically Tom Ward. I don't know if you guys know Tom Ward.
Yeah.
You know him, Mike?
I remember seeing him at one of the Expo speaker series, I think.
Yeah, he's around a lot. Kind of looks like a young David Letterman.
Kind of funny. Yep, that's him.
So he was there, and he was the representative last night. So he, you know, Track Shack, of course, is the ones that that really kind of designs the course and tests all of that. So he talked about, you know, a lot of the courses and spent time on that. So we can start by talking about changes, although they're minimal this year, if you want to do that.
Yes, please.
Okay. So if you guys remember last year, there were a lot of changes to the finish line area, the start area. There really are not many changes to that area this year. The finish line moves by about 45 feet, which then moves a couple of tenths just by a few feet here and there. But for the most part, you're not going to see, if you were there last year, it's not going to feel that much different this year in that whole area where you do the gear bag check and the finish area and all of that, race retreat, all of that's kind of in the same spaces that it was last year. So not a whole lot of changes there. There is a change to the kids races. The kids races have moved to field 20 instead of the track. So if anybody's taking their kids to races, the Run Disney staff was commenting that they thought it might be a little bit more complex getting there from a parking standpoint. So maybe if you've got kids that are doing stuff, you might want to just give yourself a few extra minutes on that. The 5K, literally no changes to the course. It's starting 15 minutes earlier than it did last year.
Ooh.
So, but other than that, it's the same. 10K is the same, same exact course, although it is also starting 15 minutes earlier.
What's the reason for that, Phil?
You know, probably they just want people off the roads quicker. I don't really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a change from last year. I've never done the Goofy or the Dopey, but they're doing one bib for the 5 and 10 and then one for the half and full.
Yeah, they did that when I did the Dopey.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I wasn't sure if that was a change, but they made a big deal of it last night. Mm-hmm. So let's see, staging area is the same, gear bag tents. Gear bag tents will look a little bit different. Usually you see it all as one continuous tent. They have to change that. I guess there was some fire code changes, and they have to change the way they do that a little bit. So that'll feel slightly different, but not much.
What about security around the gear bag area?
Yeah, so they talked quite a bit about security, actually.
I'll bet.
And they've certainly changed a lot of their policies, and most of the listeners probably know that they're starting to put metal detectors at some of the parks, although it's not for every single person, but it's kind of a random thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said last night that they're not going to have metal detectors at the race entry, but they also said, listen, this stuff changes all the time. And so they said, you know, even though we're telling you tonight that there won't be metal detectors there, like Disney security might change their minds at the last minute and decide to put some out there because of something that they, you know, heard or something like that. And so they actually had, they had a couple of security staff members there, Disney security staff members there to talk to us about that. So there is definitely a beefed up focus on security this year. They brought in, I think, three of their people. It was interesting. They talked about the fact that they involved the National Guard.
Hmm.
National Guard actually has a presence there. They may not be dressed in National Guard uniforms, but they have a presence there. They talked about the fact that they partner with Homeland Security just to make sure that if there's any information that is helpful for them to know, that they're getting that information. They kind of talked in sort of a coy way about their, quote, external partners. Which I think that's like, I don't know if that's like the A team that they hire in, but, so they talked about the fact that those external partners will be, carrying certain equipment. They didn't want to elaborate on what that equipment was. Apparently they've got some big people that are there ready to do what they need to do.
So what about, this is so helpful and interesting. What about, I know that people, you know, in the parks, adults are not allowed to wear costumes anymore. And I believe that I read online that that is not the case for Run Disney. Did they speak about that at all?
They did. They said that they're going to be, you know, checking costumes and that they're actually still kind of finalizing, like, what's going to be allowed and what's not going to be allowed. But they're kind of reserving the right to say, hey, we don't feel comfortable with you wearing that. So, you know, if you're wearing some big, boxy, massive costume, there's a good chance they're going to want to check you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they may come over to you with one of those, the wands where they can kind of wave it around and see what's going on in your costume. So, you know, we'll see. But they are still allowing costumes. And you know, that may, but you know, they're changing stuff literally every day when it comes to security. Mm-hmm. So they talked a lot about the fact that they're the people that are on security, they'll have kind of, they'll be wearing some special things that are a code to us, the team leaders, so that we know that they're an external partner. And if we, you know, don't feel they're doing, cause if they're doing something strange, cause they're a security person, we need to be able to know that they're allowed to be doing that. Otherwise we're going to report them. Mm-hmm. They talked about the fact that, you know, they've got all sorts of equipment around that tests air quality. I'm guessing that means for explosives or, you know, biological, I don't know. But they have equipment around that tests all of that. And so they're really on the ball.
I guess we know why the race fees are so expensive, huh?
I know, right? Jeez. Yeah, yeah. But they even went into details like, you know, they talked about if you see someone that looks dangerous, you know, don't when you call it in, they said, you know, hey, don't call it in and say, there's someone suspicious wearing a black hat. Like, okay, there's going to be 10,000 people wearing black hats, right? So they said, it's interesting, they said, notice their shoes, because they can swap out a jacket or a hat, but they're probably not going to take their shoes off and change their shoes. And so call it in as, you know, suspicious person wearing fluorescent green, you know, sneakers, whatever, you know, because that's easier to kind of track down. Interesting little thing that they found works with their security people.
Well, I feel safer.
I know, right?
I'm going to change my sneakers.
Mm. Yeah.
That's true.
So selfie sticks are banned still. They'll have an area for you to check your selfie stick if you bring one in accidentally. So, yeah, that's kind of all from a security standpoint, I think. Let's see here. If we can go back to the races a little bit, if you want.
Sure.
Late runners, they're being a little more lenient with people that are getting there kind of late. And so they just told us that they said, you know, we don't advertise this, but they're prepped and ready with buses and little vans to, you know, run you up to the start line if you're getting there late. They don't like to mention that anywhere on Run Disney official, you know, websites, because they're afraid that a ton of people will just take the opportunity to sleep in a little bit later. But but they, you know, they said, look, we want people there. We don't want to have somebody upset that they got there 15 minutes late. So they're ready to go with that. They did talk about, you know, the Speedway has gone away. The Speedway was a part of the track for the full marathon for several years in the past. I'm sure you guys have run the Speedway before. Mm-hmm. And have you been there since that's gone?
Yes, I've seen it, but I think there were lots of construction equipment around the last time I saw it.
Yeah, so it's definitely ripped out. I think they're making that into a parking lot or something. Mm. Not really sure, but so Tom Ward, the Track Shack representative, talked about how that meant that they had to make up roughly a mile in the courses, and they really wanted to figure out a way to use that as an opportunity to kind of make it better for the runners. Mm. And so they said, you know, we recognize that for most people, the big experience here is to be running through the parks. And so what they've done is they've added distance in the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, wow.
So you'll spend more time in the Magic Kingdom for both the half and the full. It's a little bit less for the half. And so actually it's kind of funny, if you're running both the half and the full, they'll turn you at one point for the half at a different point for the full. And so, you know, it won't be the exact same course if you're doing both. But you'll get to spend more time in the Magic Kingdom. And then they're also picking up a little bit of mileage on Western Way. If you guys ever driven on Western Way by Coronado Springs, there's a little bit of an out and back stretch there. Just kind of makes up the mileage. There's a little bit that they added in Animal Kingdom, not a lot, just a tiny bit. Mm-hmm. And there's no changes to the time that you're spending in Epcot or Hollywood Studios. The mile numbers will look different for the half and the full because of the way that they're routing people around a little differently. So don't expect it to look the same for the first, you know, 13 or whatever. And they also said, you know, with all the construction going on at Disney right now and all the different parks, they said, expect the courses to change literally every year for several years due to that construction.
Oh, interesting.
Wow. So, yeah, it was interesting. Tom Ward then talked about kind of how they go about redoing those courses. And I don't know if you guys know a whole lot about how the USA Track and Field works with that.
Mm-mm. No, not that much.
So USA Track and Field is the one that approves the courses so that they can be officially, you know, 26.2 or 13.1. But they work closely with people at Track Shack to do that. And one of the ways that they do it is they have a bicycle that is designed to, you know, measure that course at its shortest point. So they kind of hug the corners of every, you know, turn.
Oh.
And what they do is they use a bike. But before they actually measure the course, they have to calibrate that bike to make sure that it's exactly measuring perfectly, right? So they actually built a calibration course out behind Magic Kingdom where they calibrate their bike first and they have it, you know, perfectly measured so they know if you ride from here to here, it should be exactly 1 mile or whatever it is. And that's how they then measure the course, make sure it's the shortest possible route, as though there is literally only one person on the course. So that's why, you know, if you've ever run a Disney race, you know that at the end you look down at your iPhone or your Garmin and you're like, wait a minute, I ran 27.1 miles. That's odd. Why is it more than the race amount? And that's because, you know, there's no way that you know, anyone is going to actually run the shortest possible. But they have to do it that way because if somebody...
Because it is possible.
It is possible, mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So they have to do it that way, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So run on the tangents and run on the corners.
Yep. Exactly.
That's what I always tell myself when I'm running.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of it for changes to the races. Not a whole lot this year. Let me just look through my notes here. This is something that might just be interesting for people. Have you guys heard about what happened with the lawsuit with volunteers with the Rock and Roll Marathon Series?
No, not at all.
Did not, no.
So, you know, as you guys know, like every local race and really every race in the running community is really dependent on their volunteers to kind of make a lot of it work, whether it's a water stop or check-in or whatever. And that's fine when it's the local 5K, you know, raising money for whatever, you know, cause it is. But what do you do when it's a for-profit company running a for-profit race and having volunteers, you know, volunteering their time for it? So somebody who was volunteering with the Rock and Roll races, and you can Google this and find articles on it, decided to sue the Rock and Roll Series, saying that they were basically getting free labor and that they were technically working for Rock and Roll and not getting paid for it. So a lot of the big races like the Disney race, you know, they've now responded with their volunteers to make sure that it's very obvious that you are not volunteering for Disney. You are volunteering for the charity that is the focus charity for that race.
Interesting.
So, you know, that it's, you'll notice if you take a look at your paperwork that you got in the mail for volunteering,
yes.
You'll see that it nowhere says that you're volunteering for Run Disney. It says that you're volunteering for the Lymphoma and Leukemia Society.
Interesting. Oh,
So they actually went so far as to, they changed all of the clothing that they give us. So they give us a lot of clothing when we're team leaders.
Mm-hmm.
They give us these shirts and jackets and all this stuff, and it all used to say Run Disney Volunteer on it. And now we have these jackets that just very plainly say Team Leader Volunteer. The word Run Disney is nowhere on it. And you could just tell that they had been coached very carefully by somebody, probably a lawyer, saying, do not say this, do not say that. Make sure you say it this way. Because they don't want to get sued by somebody, you know. So
you are just full of interesting information, Mr. Phil.
Well, I do my best for you.
Wow.
Yeah, so lots of interesting stuff going on. This was another thing that I just thought would be interesting for the runners. If anything ever happens to you, God forbid, while you're out there on a course, I don't know if you guys know this, but if you're on Disney property and you call 911, it will automatically go to Osceola or Orange County. But what you just based on the way it triangulates with the cell phone towers, but what you really need is you need Reedy Creek Improvement District fire department or whatever it is. So if anything ever happens while you're on Disney property and you're calling 911, you always want to make sure that you say, I'm on Disney property, and then to dispatch me to the Reedy Creek. And so they train us on that as team leaders so that we're not, you know, having fire department or you know, ambulances show up to the wrong place. They want us to make sure we connect into the Reedy Creek. So just
yeah, I found out I had to do active shooter training at my university and found out a similar thing that if you call 911, it goes to the state police. So you have to do like a prefix and then 911.
Right.
And so it sounds like it's a similar thing. Good to know.
Yeah, yeah. That is, I think that's about it. I'm just looking over my notes here, guys.
So, you know, Mike and I are newbies. What are the most, what are you going to do to help guide us through this experience? What can we remember? What are your top tips?
So everybody, all the volunteers, we all joke about this, the team leaders and the Run Disney staff. We all joke about the fact that the volunteers always show up way earlier than they need to. So, you know, when you're, you know, if it says on your note there, arrive at 2:30 a.m. or whatever it says for you guys to get there, it's probably like 2:30 a.m. or 3 a.m. or something like that. Like, seriously, you don't need to get there before that. That's fine. Just get there at 3 a.m. It's going to be totally fine for you to get there at the time. And then you'll probably end up standing around for 25 or 30 minutes. So, just be prepared for that. Don't bring any, you know, anything that they're not going to let through security. They don't really want you bringing bags in there.
Okay.
You're not going to be able to bring like a backpack out on the race course, wherever you're, they don't
want. Will they give us things to drink?
They will. So okay. when you check in, they're going to have like a little area for, snacks. They'll give you, you know, they'll have like big boxes of snacks out. And you'll be able to pick like five of those snacks.
That's like race retreat for volunteers.
Kind of, yeah. And nice. They'll have bottles of water. Sometimes they have Powerade and other things to choose from. And then at some of the races, they just give you one of the Fitful boxes, like mm-hmm. they give to everybody, all the runners.
Okay.
So it sort of just depends on the race. The volunteer check-in moved this year. They're doing it for the half and the full. They're doing it over at the Team Disney building. Do you guys know where the Team Disney building is?
Do not.
Yes, so that's from Disney Springs, right?
It is. It's
across
the street from there. It's basically where, if you work for Disney or you're applying at Disney, you're going to go there for your interview or for some of your training and whatnot. So it's just a big office building. They're going to be doing it in the parking lot there. They'll have big tents set up, and then they're going to bus you to the appropriate spot. So it's just a little bit different setup this year. So, you know, with me and with any team leader, if anybody else is volunteering on different teams, your team leader will kind of call you together and shout out to all the people that are on his team, and they'll kind of pull you to the side, and then they'll talk about what's, you know, how that's going to work out. And then, you know, depending on where you're volunteering, you'll either walk there, like in our case, bonus medals, that'll be easy. We'll just walk over there probably. But for some of the others, if you're like, say at water stop, you know, at mile marker 11, you know, you're going to get in a bus and you're going to drive there, you know, and you'll get out, and then you'll be out on the road, or in a park or wherever you are volunteering, and you'll have everything you need, to do what you're doing there. And we'll kind of give you some directions on what we need to do. And then we just kind of have fun, and there'll be downtime in between things where we can just kind of hang out and chat, and then it'll be busy, and then it'll be slow. There's always kind of a lull for probably 30, 40 minutes when everything's all set up. And we call into kind of the headquarters and we say, you know, whatever, bonus medals is show ready, you know, and then they say, okay, bonus medals show ready. And then they go around to all the different, you know, areas of the race, and each team leader has to call in and say, all right, we're show ready at water stop 1, show ready at water stop 3. And then we're ready to go. And it's go time. We have a lot of fun.
We're going to be the best darn volunteers you've ever seen.
It's going to be great.
Can
it's
we wear
awesome.
Our Mickey Milers hat?
You can, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you totally can. That's the easiest way to identify yourself as a Mickey Miler is with your hat, because your shirt is likely to be covered by your jacket, depending on, you know, how cold it is. I think it's, you know, it might be cold enough for the jacket earlier in the morning, but last year it was really cold during the 5K and the 10K. I mean, it was freezing. You guys remember that?
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They actually gave us like really, really heavy duty jackets this year because of that race. all the team leaders. So, so you'll be able to wear your hat. I'll be wearing one. Eddie McCoy sent me one recently.
Oh, nice.
So I'm ready to go for that. So, it'll be wear your Mickey Miler hat. And I think there'll be 5 or 6 of us on that team. So it should be a good time.
Very cool.
So, Phil, I have some specific questions about what Michelle and I are going to do. It's probably, hopefully this will be interesting to the listeners as well. So we received...
If not, it's too bad. Forward ahead.
So I'm looking at a sheet here, and like you said, it says 2016 Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend presented by Cigna, designated charity of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So there is a name tag on here that's got my name, and it says Marathon Weekend Volunteer. It says this card will be your name tag for the Expo 5K and 10K. So I'm assuming that only for those events would this name tag be required. Is that correct?
Yeah. So what that is that allows you to they're gonna scan. You see a little barcode on that name tag?
Yes.
They're going to scan that barcode, and that shows that you checked in, and then they're going to scan it on your way out to check you out.
Okay.
And that we do that because there's been issues in the past where volunteers will show up at the beginning and then kind of just disappear. And Disney doesn't want to give them a free ticket if they're not going to actually serve the shift that they said they were going to be there for. Did you get a thing? Did it say something about picking up your credential?
Yes, for the... half and the full, they said,
right.
It says, it's, if you're registered for the half marathon, okay, wait a minute. You pick up your credentials at the sports building on Sherbert Road or the ESPN Wild World of Sports Complex.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is
so,
probably where most people pick theirs up.
Yeah, depending on when you get there and you know, if locals are typically pick them up over at the Sherbert Road. Do you know where the Disney Sports Building is over on the Sherbert Road?
Oh, boy. I
know where Sherbert Road is.
I know where Sherbert Road is, but I don't know where that is.
It's kind of tucked in there, just off of a main road. Doesn't even feel like it's on Disney property. That's kind of where the Run Disney offices are. You'll be able to do it at the expo as well.
Good.
So what happens is for the 5K and the 10K, it's kind of funny. For as big of a company as Disney is, the 5K and the 10K from a volunteer standpoint really feel more like a local race in terms of the way they're organized and run on the back end. But the half and the full, it feels like it's, you know, the big dance. So it's way more intensive from an organizational standpoint. So
we get both experiences.
Yeah. So the credential that you'll pick up, you'll need that to wear when you're volunteering at the full. But you won't need it when you're volunteering at the 5K.
Will they give us a lanyard?
They will. They'll give you a little black lanyard to wear, and they'll have a little plastic piece. I've learned that I don't like their lanyards, and so I wear my own.
BYOL.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So, they'll give you a little lanyard, and they'll give you a plastic name tag to stick it in, and then they'll make you wear this little thing saying that you checked in, and they'll give you a little emergency thing to wear around it. There's all kinds of crap they give you. So.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fun.
So interesting. Thank you so much. Thank you keeping us up to date. And this is always, you know, the races simply could not happen if we didn't have the volunteers. So there's this whole other piece of the racing experience that I'm just fascinated with, the organization and the, you know, dedication to safety. And I think it's great. Thank you so much for being a leader and for pulling us onto your team. I just honestly can't wait. I'm so excited.
We had so much fun today volunteering at the 5K because this is...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, today.
Day.
Yeah, this morning.
But we're looking forward to the bonus medals, and I'm curious to see how many people look for us.
Very nice. That's great. That's great. Very cool. Oh, you know what? One other thing I'm just seeing on my notes here that is kind of funny. They spend a lot of time talking about the weather contingency plan.
Oh yes.
I wonder why. So, yeah, after the last experience with everybody being, you know, forced into the sports buildings over there, so.
Oh.
Yeah, we don't have sports buildings in Epcot.
So do we know what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, they have a plan for, you know, depending on what happens and what the level of severity is. But yeah, they've got different kind of plans that they walked us through. So it'll be kind of, I don't think there's going to be any issues this time around. So
no, let's hope it's better than it was in November.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Okay, all right, Phil. Guys. Well, thank you very much again, and we'll be looking to have some fun with you this Sunday, as we, you know, we're all excited about giving out the bonus medals, giving out the goofy and the dopey. And again, we want to thank you for everything you've done and for coming on to help us explain to everyone out there how the volunteers do what they do, and it's a very important thing for us to always remind everyone to thank the volunteers as they're running through the races, because the time that they spend, they're there very early, they're on the course all the time. I mean,
everybody who hands you a water, everybody who you run by, everybody who puts a medal on, especially the bonus medals at the marathon. But say thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And if any of the Mickey Miler listeners volunteer at a future race and you'd like to be on my team, just shoot me a message on Facebook. You know, I'm in the groups there. You can find me in the Mickey Miler's group and shoot me a message, and then I'll make sure that you get onto my team.
Awesome. So for Phil Taylor and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. If you would like to support the Mickey Miles Podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And don't forget, if you have any questions, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. And we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.